Staying alive. Welcome to episode 5 of The Dig. Sam Anthony alongside of me. I'm Spencer Witt. And like we mentioned in the song, the Colonials staying alive after this past weekend.
I hope you realize that I spent all of my Wednesday thinking about what song we're going to open with. I think we're doing pretty good so far.
I think the Colonials are doing pretty good this past weekend as well.
You know, as excited as I am, can I just express my frustration? I already expressed my frustration with you. You can't beat St. Francis. You can't beat some of the lower teams of the conference. You can't go beat St. Francis Brooklyn, which, by the way, was also a significant game. But you can go beat the top team in the NEC. The top team. And you know what that tells me? That they're actually good. That they are actually good. And I'm being loud, and I'm angry about it, but I'm happy about it, too, because that means that there's still hope. But how much hope?
I get it. Because it's so inconsistent.
And I want to hope.
I said it back in week, I think, 2 or whatever, when they played LA Brooklyn the first time. I said this was their best game they played all year. The best game they played all year was against the number one seed. They are capable of beating them. And they did. And on the road, nonetheless.
And, that's great. Because it's everything you want. It was, you know, arguably the hardest way to do it was to go to Brooklyn to play the best team in the NEC, a team that had not lost yet, by the way. I'm going to emphasize that. They had not lost. And they go, and they looked phenomenal. I mean, they played their best volleyball of the season. And you know what? It left me with more questions than answers. And my very first question is, where did this come from? Why did it take so long to show up? And are we going to see more of it now? Is this like a, hey, we're here, we're ready to go. I know that the odds are against us, but I mean, you know, again, let's take a look here at the standings right now. Because there's 4 games left for Auburn Morris. They're 4 games out from that 4th spot against Sacred Heart. And that very last match for Robert Morris is against Sacred Heart. Yeah. So theoretically, if Robert Morris wins out, they have a couple other things happen with St. Francis Brooklyn losing some games. St. Francis Brooklyn has 3 tough matchups in their last 3, which is LIU, Bryant, Central Connecticut. Everything happens there. Let's just say, you know, for the heck of it, that St. Francis Brooklyn loses all 3. Just throw out the tiebreaker situation. They get to that last game. Somehow Sacred Heart loses. And what's their schedule look like? I don't know if you have that up
Sacred
right
Hearts
now.
Sacred Hearts or who? Which teams?
Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart. I believe they play, well, the last weekend of the year, they're going to play St. Francis and Sacred Heart, or Robert Morris.
And then before that, this weekend, they're playing Bryant and Central Connecticut, who are the other
two. That's the thing. They still have 4 games left. The Colonials only have 3.
Yes.
So that's the big thing to note. St. Francis only has, I believe, 3 as well.
Yes.
So that's something to look at. St. Francis, don't count them out either. I mean, they are in the exact same spot as Robert Morris.
And arguably a better position.
And if they have to win out as well, and they play Sacred Heart, so they still have a chance as well. That St. Francis-Robert Morris game on Friday here, that's the game to see if you're still alive in the conference.
Well, and here's the thing, all right? So St. Francis Brooklyn is on a 4-game winning streak.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't start out hot, but they beat Sacred Heart, which is a good win. Sacred Heart is a playoff team.
Yeah.
Fairleigh Dickinson, not really a great win. We can't even say anything good about that.
Eh.
They go beat Robert Morris in 5. That was a great win. That was a huge win for them. And then they beat St. Francis in 5 sets. I mean, they did what Robert Morris couldn't do, which was beat the teams they needed to beat. And despite having a really tough schedule down the stretch here, they're hot. And realistically, you're sitting here and you're thinking, all right, we need to win, what, 2 of 3, and you can get in?
For who?
For St. Francis Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, yeah, I believe.
Yeah, you
they're ahead of Robert Morris and St. Francis
2 of 3
PA,
and a little bit of luck,
yeah,
and you're in. And they're in a better spot than Robert Morris because of the fact that they were able to kind of put it together sooner.
They have less of a hill to climb, but it's steeper in my eyes. That's what I look at it as.
That's a great metaphor.
Thank you. It's a very tough test because you have LIU, Brooklyn, CCSU, and Bryan, all 3 really good teams, but they're not perfect and they're capable of being defeated. We saw Robert Morris just do it this past weekend against LIU Brooklyn.
Yeah. Here's my question, because it's a big win, but it's their 3rd conference win, and their other 2 came against St. Francis Brooklyn and Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm so confused. That's my biggest thing right now, is I'm just so... And, like, again, you look at that roster, and we've looked at the roster and the stats over and over again, and you have these such talented players in Taylor Lord, Emma Granger, Allison Londa, Maria Alfano, Mirna Starjanovic, Alyssa Hudak. I can keep going. I'm so confused because they have the roster, and clearly they have the ability to beat the big teams, but up until this point, which was, you know, going into this, 10 games.
Yeah.
They didn't do it.
I mean, the big thing is, again, you know, we get our hopes up, we wonder why. It's not how you start, it's about how you finish, I guess. In this case, as long as you're there, as long as you have a chance, you never really know in the Northeast Conference.
Yeah, and you know what? Here, before we break into these matchups here, I do want to talk, because we were talking about this right before the show started, and,
right.
You know, the dream scenario of them running the table, Sacred Heart losing out, St. Francis Brooklyn losing out, Robert Morris sneaking into that fourth spot against all odds with 8 conference losses. I mean, that talk about something that would be unheard of, is they would be going in with a 6-8 record into the tournament, playing most likely at LIU Brooklyn,
yeah.
A team they beat at LIU Brooklyn, which means that it can be done. it's crazy because I sit in my head, and like you said, they give us hope. And, you know, the first thing you think of is, hey, Robert Morris can do this. They can go, if they can get in, they can beat LIU Brooklyn. You can beat LIU Brooklyn. You can go win the NEC and you can make the NCAA tournament, which means that, again, they would make the NCAA tournament with a regular season record of 12-17. You know how, like, every once in a while you see, like, a really bad team make, like, the men's basketball tournament NCAA? This would be, yeah, like, the equivalent, but just extremely harder because only 4 teams make the playoffs. It'd be different if, like, all of these teams made the playoffs and, you know, every team had a chance to make a run, but only the top 4. So the feat becomes even harder because you do have to be pretty darn good during the regular season, or at least decent enough to slide into the 4 spot like Robert Morris is trying to do right now. But then not only do that, but then go and beat. And again, the only way for Robert Morris to get in with such a poor record would mean that the teams at the top are just so much better in terms of record and performance. And so then you have to go against these teams that are really the top of a very lopsided conference. Would you agree that really, if you look at that conference, one, LIU Brooklyn's kind of a tier above everybody else, and then you would have the lower tier of Central Connecticut.
But Robert Morris beat them.
And you know what? Robert Morris also beat Kentucky, but are we a Kentucky? If someone says yes, then we're going to have a talk. That's just my thought is, you know, do we look at this as like a fluke thing, or hey, you know, for once they had all the pieces together and they happened to kind of get away with one? Or are we saying, hey, this is really what Robert Morris volleyball can do? I think the answer personally is somewhere in the middle. And I think it leans closer to this is exactly what Robert Morris can do. And I think that gray area is the youth and the inconsistency. And I think that's really the answer, in my opinion.
So, I mean, like we mentioned, the NEC, just the wild, wild west when it comes to especially the bottom half.
It's so confusing.
We'll go over the schedule real quick here. The last weekend, they played on October 26th at St. Francis Brooklyn. They went up to the Brooklyn area this weekend. They lost 3-2, 25-19, 17-25, 25-20, 25-20, and 15-12. St. Francis Brooklyn took the last set 15-12, and that was a tough one, and you think 3 points go a different way. Robert Morris is sitting in the driver's seat.
And you know how many times, though, this season we have said that? I think, you know, if we went back and just looked up, because again, look just, you know, the week before that against Bryant, all of those games were close, and then Robert Morris loses 18-16 in the final set. I mean, how many times can we sit there and go, oh, if they almost had it, if they almost had it? They can't finish. They can't finish in those tight ones. And the reason that I'm starting to think more the reason that they have the name the Cardiac Colonials is because they put themselves in these situations.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually you are going to get some of those. But when you keep consistently going to 5 sets, you're at what point do you, you know, lose as many as you win? And I think at this point, Robert Morris has lost more than they've won. But, I mean, that's, to me, is the most frustrating thing, is even in some of these losses, you know, you're sitting there going, ah, like, we lost two of these sets, or Robert Morse lost two of these sets, 22-25. They could have had it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's volleyball in general, though.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I mean,
that really is volleyball.
The trend I've kind of noticed with Robert Morse, and you can tell me if this is a trend for all of volleyball for all I know, but it seems like they really hang in the sets early and then just kind of fall out of it.
It's more common than...
Than not,
yeah. But definitely, I think the Colonial... I think so. Yeah, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's more volleyball than anything. But, yeah. I mean, you know, Robert Morse, it's a case of it. I mean, they're a decent volleyball team that knows how to put points on the board, and they're going to do exactly that.
Yeah.
The big thing is that in volleyball, you expect every team to get at least like 15 points.
Yeah.
On you, a guarantee.
Yeah, like if you don't put up 15 points in a losing set, like that was a really, really awful set.
Yeah, I always say if you lose by more than 10, it's bad.
Yeah.
That was my opinion. I mean, even you could argue not even getting 20 is pretty bad too, but it's an okay set. But if you lose by 15 or not get 15, then it's bad.
Yeah.
So the leaders for Robert Morse in that set, Allison Laundot had 18 kills, Emma Granger had 15, Taylor Lord had 14. Ali Yurkovich had 24 digs, Taylor Lord had 18, and Megan Cannon with 9. Big stat to note, Emma Granger 4 blocks in that match. That's a big one.
That's kind of like the next step of her development, I feel like, is her being more of a presence defensively. Because, you know, again, we know...
We haven't seen it much lately. No. I mean, it's been shown. She definitely is able to block. I saw it a lot against Houston earlier in the year. She was a big presence there, especially in the fifth set. I think she had 2 or 3 blocks when they beat them. But haven't really seen much, especially in the NEC play, when it comes to blocks.
Yeah, that is definitely interesting. Something interesting I also want to note is, you know, someone who was really very active at the beginning of the season, Whitney Brown, she had 2 assists and played 2 sets.
Yeah. I didn't watch this game. I don't know. She had 11. Wait, for which game are we talking about?
St. Francis, Brooklyn.
Okay. It says here she had 11 assists. Megan Cannon had 38.
Oh, my mistake.
Total.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that might have been for one set.
Yeah.
But
Brown was only in 2 sets.
Yeah, so that means I didn't watch the game. I don't know if they ran a 4-2, or which I doubt they did, but they might have, which is you have your one setter in the... You always have a setter in the back row.
Yeah.
So that means you'd always have 3 hitters. Army doesn't usually run that. They usually run a 6-1, which is you have one setter. She plays all around.
Yep.
So I don't know. They've been going between Whitney Brown and Megan Cannon. Seen a lot more Cannon lately. She had 38 assists, so she was playing the majority of that game as well.
That's very interesting. I mean, that's... And here, actually, I do want to look. I'm going to go right into LIU Brooklyn's and just see, because, like, is that a trend? Is that something that maybe they were trying? And let's see. So Megan Cannon, 4 sets, and...
They
Whitney Brown, 4 sets.
They did, really.
They split.
They both had 4 sets.
Yeah, 26 assists for Cannon and 21 for Brown.
So then they did play. They must have run a 4-2, which they haven't done all year. And maybe it worked. Maybe they'll keep going with that.
So that's the, you know, food for thought here, I guess, is if that's what went into it, which, again, the stats would indicate that. I mean, if you won against LIU Brooklyn, I would assume you have to stick with that.
Yeah.
Because... Heck, I mean, not only did they win, but they dominated LIU Brooklyn, something that nobody in the NEC has done this season.
That's true. Yeah, I think only one other team went to 5, I believe. 2 teams. I know St. Francis went to 5 against them. I think somebody else went to, I don't know if Sacred Heart. I think actually it was Sacred Heart as well. But yeah, it's really interesting to see that. And we've seen some teams go with those double setter formations. I know Bryant beat Robert Morse. They ran 2 setters, Kirsten Sperry and Julia Millay. They ran a 4-2. It worked against Robert Morse. Maybe they thought, hey, maybe we can work against LIU Brooklyn. You might as well try it.
Exactly.
And 3 sets to 1.
I mean, I mean, definitely something to think about, Spencer. You know, it's very obvious that you play volleyball, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm just a basic bystander. But, you know, I'm glad I can learn some things on this show, too.
I'm glad you're here.
Oh, thanks.
So we'll go over the leaders for Robert Morris on that game against LIU Brooklyn, which this was mathematically the game that they had to win if they wanted to stay in. So if they did lose, they would have been eliminated. And they decided, you know what, let's stay alive. And they won 3 sets to 1, 13-25, 25-23, 27-25, and then 28-26 in that fourth set. So even then, all of those sets were two-point differences from the second through fourth, and they got crushed in the first set.
I mean, you said it. If you don't get 15, it was a really bad set. They got 13. And, you know, you want to know, I wonder what changed. And clearly it changed enough. I mean, they had to battle to get all these sets, you know, 25-23, 27-25, 28-26. They were close. But, I mean, it just... And it looks like to me that overall the defense was a little bit better, because you see that hitting percentage was zero for Robert Morris to go through the first set, whereas it was 0.33 for LAU Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And then you see it drop to 0.143, 0.2, and then 0.067 in those last three sets respectively. Whereas Robert Morris goes up to a 0.207, 0.250, 0.225. So it wasn't that they were doing anything flashy offensively.
No. I mean, LAU Brooklyn did shoot themselves in the foot a little bit. You know, 8 errors in the second set, 9 in the attack errors, 9 in the third, and 10 in the fourth. But, you know, you still have to give RMU credit.
I mean, you have to give RMU credit, but then in the back of your head, too, do you almost have to think, and it's easy to call it a trap game when you're the top team.
Yeah.
But was this sort of a trap game? You know, you're 10-0 if you're LA Brooklyn. You're clinched whether you win it or not.
Yeah. But they're still they were still fighting for the top.
Yeah, because Bryant can still. So.
Yeah.
But still, in the sense that, you know, Robert Morris was not playing well. They haven't been playing well for a while now. To me, you know, and again, I don't want to take away all the credit from Robert Morris because this was a huge, momentous win. But... was there, I feel like there was some trap game feel to it.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I think the big thing that I look at this game as well, just looking at LIU Brooklyn, the leaders on their side, Victoria Fink had 16 kills, Alex Lilliquist had 11, Julia Azevedo had 11 as well. Those are the names that were the top the last time they played Robert Morris at home. But do you remember the names that we mentioned just a couple minutes ago for the top kills for Robert Morris? Taylor Lord, Emma Granger.
And it was Allison Londa.
Yeah. For this game, Taylor Lord had 17, Alyssa Hudak had 11, and Maria Alfano had 6. So again, different players every time.
And you got to note is even Alfano with just 6 kills, what that indicates to me, because again, they had 49 kills, was that you were seeing a lot of action from a lot of different players. I mean, Lord and Hudak were the most consistent, but you know, again, and you talked about blocks, all right? Do you see how many blocks Emma Granger had?
9.
That to me, and in terms of five defensively,
too.
And Lord
so
had 5.
Taylor Lord. Well, those, and most of the time, I mean, I don't know, especially for an opposite or for an outside hitter, Taylor Lord, those are combined blocks, mm-hmm. which gives you a point, which gives you a half.
Yeah.
So that means a lot of times we saw the attack errors were like 8, 9, 10 for LAU Brooklyn. That's because they're hitting it right into the block. So that block was really working well for Robert Morris.
And to me, that's the biggest difference from St. Francis Brooklyn to LIU Brooklyn was defensively. I think you could sit here all day, and I think, you know, we're victims of it too, and talk about, hey, you know, Emma Granger didn't have this many kills. Taylor Lord only had this many kills inconsistently offensively. But one part of the game can pick up the other part of the game. And I think that's the key to being a championship team and being a winning team is when, you know, it's not necessarily saying, hey, Emma Granger, you need 15 kills every game. It's saying, hey, if Emma Granger's not playing well offensively, you still need to be consistent on the defensive end, make sure you're getting some blocks. If she's not playing well as a whole, hey, Maria Alfano, start, you know, pick up the slack. And I think that's what Dale Starr has been trying to do with this team. I think that's been the end game. I think it's been some growing pains, certainly.
And that's something that I remember when I had interviewed him after the game against Kent State when they were down 2-0. They brought in Devlin and Hudak and Skylar Clements. And I asked him about it. I said, how do these changes impact you? He said, well, the best thing about these players is that, you know, when not everybody's going to have their great games every game, you don't expect that. When players aren't really working well, they understand that it's not their game and somebody else comes in. And the fact that we have that ability to put somebody else in and they play very well and they keep us in the game and they maybe even put us forward and get us the victory is something that you like to see. So it's a double-edged sword because you like the consistency of having the same players play really well. But if they're not playing well, the good side is that sometimes you can bring those other players in and they can do well. Other times, it just doesn't work. We've seen a lot where it just doesn't work. This time, it works out, though.
Yeah, and the thinking like that, to me, makes the biggest difference down the stretch. Yeah. So we're talking about Robert Morris really needing to put together their best stretch of the season. You're talking about a team that maybe isn't as worn down as other teams because you have players that sometimes don't see a lot of action because it's just not their game, not their match. And I think that's huge. And I think that's something that maybe is very telling about LAU Brooklyn. You know, again, you see kind of the same player stepping up, being consistent, whereas Robert Morris, you don't know who's going to do it. Is it going to be Taylor Lord this game? Is it going to be Granger? Is it going to be Londot? When it comes to winning those games down the stretch and potentially maybe turning this into a five-game winning streak to end, or not five, a four-game winning streak to end the season.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be four because they won the past game. Yeah.
We were both messed up on math. We're fine. But that
is three fingers up, by the way. You can't see it, obviously.
You're right. I didn't even think about the fact that you only signaled it to me.
Yeah.
We're struggling. But yeah, back to the point at hand here is that they're a team that's built for these late season runs because they have so much depth. And they have more depth than most teams.
I would agree with that. I would actually, that's probably the best way to put it, especially late on this season. And again, like we said before, we're just going real quick. We got about 8 minutes remaining.
Make it sound like it's a bad thing.
No, I wish I could do this for hours, honestly. That's why it is a bad thing. We only have 8 minutes remaining. I want to talk forever.
I mean, we can talk afterwards if you want.
I mean, it's up to you. But so Robert Morris, they play Friday at, I believe, 5 p.m., correct? 7 p.m., sorry. 7 p.m., November 2nd against St. Francis.
The Dig
Pig match. So I believe they might be wearing pink that game, I think. I would assume.
I guess you'll have to show up and find out.
Or you could watch it on EC Front Row if you're not in the area. So we'll be on the call for that one. Well, I'll be on the call for that one. I know that. But
Will I go to the game? I think I'll go to the game.
I mean, if we actually need a person to commentate if you want to. Because it's only me.
Well, I'll talk to you afterwards, maybe.
All right.
All right.
So that game, like we mentioned before, that's to survive in the conference. That's to have your tournament hopes still alive for both St. Francis and Robert Morris. We'll do predictions in a minute, but just real quick on the other side for Sacred Heart, they play November 2nd at 6 p.m. against Bryant at home. And they play November 3rd against Central Connecticut State. So those are two teams above them. Tough competition. I'm not calling it in Robert Morris's favor yet.
Yes.
But the odds, they have a chance, and it's better than just Sacred Heart playing Fairleigh Dickinson.
Well, and here's the thing you have to understand, too, is the only team that's clinched is LAU Brooklyn. So in the sense that Bryant is playing their best volleyball because, you know, now that you see LAU Brooklyn losing, you're in your head, you're thinking, hey, we can go and we can get this first seed. If you're Central Connecticut, you lose out, you might not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's still a chance that, you know, again, Sacred Heart and St. Francis Brooklyn play really well and end up taking those last two spots and Central Connecticut all of a sudden is on the outside looking in. There is no team that I think is going into this weekend against, again, a St. Francis Brooklyn or a Central Connecticut that isn't playing hard. I don't think there's one where you're like, all right, well, maybe they're going to be resting some people. Because even LAU Brooklyn, they want that home court advantage.
Yeah.
The only teams that really probably, you know, again, their only role is to play spoiler are, what, St. Francis and Fairleigh Dickinson?
Which St. Francis?
St. Francis, PA.
They're still in it.
They're still in it,
too. They're the same record as Robert Morris.
They are. You're right. So really the only one.
And they beat Robert Morris. And I believe, I don't know, don't quote me on this, I think the tiebreaker is sets against each other.
Yeah.
They beat Robert Morris already.
Yeah.
And that went to, I believe,
four sets.
Went to four.
So Robert Morris would realistically need to either get it to beat in four or sweep them in four. You're getting into a whole set of tiebreakers that we will have to bring out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, again, that might be a next week thing. We'll look up some tiebreakers and stuff. It depends on what happens.
Yeah, I mean.
Again, hopefully, for our sake, I hope it's some interesting stuff to talk about. I think it will be.
I pray that FDU Robert Morris game is not just a game for fun. I really, really hope they're still in it by that time.
And, I mean, first things first for the Colonials, they just have to focus on St. Francis. And St. Francis' team, in my opinion, Robert Morse is better than, that they should have beaten the first time. And, you know, hopefully, again, I mean, you're going into this matchup with that big win. I think in terms of confidence, they have to be more confident than they've been all season. Because, again, how confident can you be coming off a win against Fairleigh Dickinson? You know, that St. Francis Brooklyn win's looking a lot better now compared to their record when Robert Morris did play them. But, I mean, we can sit here all we want and talk about, you know, dream scenarios and all this wild stuff, what if. But for Robert Morris, if they lose against St. Francis, none of it matters. It's over.
Yeah. So that's actually mathematically 100%. Yeah.
And then from there, I mean, you want my honest opinion. I don't think that Fairleigh Dickinson game's going to be an issue.
I don't either, but...
You never know because, spoiler.
I've watched some Robert Morris sports lately. Listen, the men's soccer team, they have a chance of making the playoffs. They play on Friday. They could be in the driver's seat if they had beat winless Central Connecticut State, but they did not. So don't count anybody out. Never count them out.
That's me sighing because just...
But, I mean, I think, again, volleyball... The dominoes are lined up. It's just going to be a matter of can they tip them over.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, we got a little bit of time left. So I want to do this. I don't want to just predict St. Francis this weekend. I want your predictions down the stretch.
I want to do real quick first here. Just throwing this out here.
Let's hear it.
Give our Houston update because I always.
Oh, I totally forgot about the Houston update. I don't know why I forget about that every week.
So just real quick, they played number 25 UCF October 26th. They lost 3-2. They played USF South Florida on October 28th. They lost 3-1. So they're still at 1-10 in the conference, last place.
Man, that loss is just, or that win against Houston just looking worse and worse.
It really is.
Oh, boy. I thought maybe they'd turn it around.
They're still over 500, though. They're 14-12.
What? Who do they play in non Nobody good, apparently.
No, not at all.
That's just, hey, man. I don't know. Yeah. I got nothing.
I mean, but yeah, I mean, we've got 2 minutes.
And that's our Houston update for the week.
Yeah, that is our Houston update, provided by Houston Athletics. Go Cougars.
I don't know how to feel about that one.
All right.
What do you
got? I don't even know how to feel about that either, to be honest. I feel bad, honestly. I hope if anybody in Houston ever watched this, I'm sorry. I love you guys. I'm rooting for you. I really am. All right. So what do you want to go predictions again? We want to go predictions for the whole year, correct?
Yes.
All right. So... Dig Pig match, St. Francis. 5 sets, Colonials win in 5.
Ooh.
Which won't give them the tiebreaker, though. That's the big thing. So then they're going to have St. Francis lose as well. Or they're going to have wait, no, never mind. That's correct. They'll be fine. The tiebreaker doesn't matter. FDU, I think they're actually going to lose, or they're going to win in 4. I don't think they're going to win in 3 against Fairleigh Dickinson.
All right. Scare us a little bit, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be like, oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
So I think FDU is going to take like the second or third set, and we're going to be like, oh, my goodness. And then Army is going to close it out.
All right, cool.
And then November 10th, Sacred Heart, final game, senior night.
Oh, man.
I think that this will be the biggest game in Robert Morris volleyball in the past year, obviously.
Yeah.
The whole year. Maybe even last year, too, because they kind of like backed their way into the tournament last year. Do I want my heart or my gut?
Give me your heart.
My heart?
Yeah.
In 4. RMU in 4.
What's your gut say? Give me both.
Sacred Heart in 5.
So, I'd say pretty similar. I think they're going to shock some people. I think they're going to sweep St. Francis.
Ooh. Oh, that's a spicy prediction right
there.
That's
a spicy prediction. So take that down.
All right.
I think they're going to go 5 with FDU. I think it's going to be scary.
Really?
I think the focus is so much going to be on Sacred Heart.
That's true, though. I didn't even think about that. I feel like that, I love them. I love this team, but I feel like they're going to completely ignore FDU, and they're going to be like, hey, we have nothing to lose, everything to gain.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they're going to squeeze that one out. I think they can do it. I think they can beat Sacred Heart. It's hard. It's the heart and the gut.
The biggest thing that I have is that they're at home. I think that's the thing I want to take away from that.
Yeah. And it's a long trip for Sacred Heart.
It is. And it's they're playing St. Francis the night before.
Yeah. And I think the depth will come in to play. And I think Robert Morse will win in five.
That's a big thing. I think I want to look at the St. Francis Sacred Heart if we get to this scenario.
Yeah.
The St. Francis, if they push them to five, they're going to be fatigued. They're going to be, you know, tired a little bit on the road all the way in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
A lot of things could come into play.
So, hey, some interesting things to think about. So, all right. So, I have my song to have a show with.
So, big thing. Robert Morris, St. Francis, Friday, 7 p.m., Dig Pink match to survive to the next, or to survive and get into the Northeast Conference tournament or the potential. And we thank you for tuning in. For Sam Anthony, Spencer Witt, for The Dig, Episode 5, here on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
It's called It's Not Over by Daughtry.